Take your Bibles, please, and turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Catching Paul in mid-thought, we read this beginning in verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Let me read that last part again of verse 10. Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our hearts. Lord, quiet our souls. I pray that you would just give us discernment with your word this morning. This is so very important. We are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I pray that you would help us to grasp this truth, that Christ is all. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Christ is the fulfilling of everything that mankind needs. Now we're going to be getting into Genesis, but please hear me out. Everything that murderer in El Paso, Texas needed, Jesus is. Everything that whoever it was in Ohio, everything that every person is doing in their life to live out the wickedness of the wicked one, Jesus is everything that they need. Jesus is everything that we need. Whether or not our experience tells us this, or our quote-unquote feelings tell us this, please understand the Bible that lays in your lap right now or is displayed to you with your iPad or whatever, the fact of the matter is that Savior that makes up the focus of the Word of God needs to make up the focus of your life because He is all you need. Christ is all. There are phrases in the Bible, and we could go, there's so many that we could look at. I know some people, they stop and they consider, for instance, what Paul said in the book of Philippians, for me to live is Christ. And we think of the Apostle Paul when we think of that. I mean, that was his heartbeat. Galatians 2:20, my soul, what we could pull out of there. Not I, but Christ. Christ liveth in me. And then in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. By the way, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because he is the one that can meet all needs. And for this reason, we look at this passage in Colossians. And we say with Paul, Christ indeed is all. He's the centerpiece of the triune God's plan for mankind. As we go through this, as we study this, we will see this. Theologian by the name of J.C. Ryle observed this. Christ is the mainspring both of doctrinal and practical Christianity. A right knowledge of Christ is essential to a right knowledge of sanctification as well as justification. What are those fancy words all about? Sanctification is the change you and I need in our lives. Justification is the need that we have before God. With that, we can say this. Christ is all in this. Ryle continues, he that follows after holiness will make no progress unless he gives to Christ his rightful place. Well, I've given him his rightful place. After all, I trusted him as Savior. Praise God. If you have, I'm glad for that. But that doesn't put him in the rightful center seat yet in your life. There are many Christians that have trusted him for salvation, but they don't trust him with their present lives now. We are going to see over the next several weeks that it is not only a joy, but it is a necessity for joy for God's people to make Christ King now in their lives. And for us to look in the Word of God and say in a chorus, behold your King. Behold your King. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Got a lot of verses we're going to be going to quickly. John chapter 1. John wrote this. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. First of all, I want you to see in the beginning. There are verses in the Bible, and we will see them, many of them. There are verses in the Bible that speak of what it was like, briefly, what it was like before the world, the universe, was created. In this, we get a glimpse of the heart of our triune God. One of the things that we read here is that in the beginning, there was time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, time, space, and matter. We'll see that in Genesis 1:1. But here we read this. In the beginning was the Word. What we catch in this is, in our triune God, for whatever reason, and we will speak of this later on, for whatever reason, in our triune God, He who is three in one, God the Son was made to step forward to shine brightly in the salvation that mankind would need. In fact, was known to need before the foundation of the world. Verse 2 goes on to say, the same was in the beginning with God. So we can go to Genesis 1, and we will. But in John 1, John the Apostle starts us out understanding that in the beginning, God the Son was the Word, the breath of God, the one who would come carrying the message of the triune God. Go to John 17. We're going to step into holy ground. We're going to step into holy ground. John 17 should really be known as the Lord's Prayer. The one that we particularly think of is where we are taught how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pray according to this fashion. But in John 17, we read Jesus communicating with the Father, the Son communicating with the Father. In this holy moment, we read this in verse 5, John 17. And now, O Father, Jesus says, glorify me with thine own self. Watch this. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What does that mean? Let's continue. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, how many of you have trusted Christ as your Savior? Say amen.
Amen.
He's talking about us. Not just the disciples there. Not just those that have believed on him there. He's talking about us. So pay attention. You're being talked about. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Here is one thing, by the way, I've gotten in this study. God truly is love. And we're going to joy and to see that over these next several weeks. But think about that. God is what? How was that love expressed before we were around? It was right there in the triune God. Right there. And he's saying, I want them to see it. I want them to participate in it. And praise God, we already have, and we will even more so. But let's continue. Even then, at this time, Christ praying, according to what Peter says in 1 Peter 1, he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. These people were privileged, at this writing, were privileged to realize this, that for thousands of years, those who were looking ahead to him through the sacrifices did not see him. They had. You don't need to turn to it. You know it. Few verses in the Bible have stirred more anger, more controversy than the very first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. No wonder Satan has done all he could to cast doubt here. How sad. Why? Because of the hatred that began with Lucifer when he wanted to take on the glory of God himself and was cast out of heaven. He, becoming Satan, has done everything he can to get mankind, and there's a reason, get mankind to look and say, there is no God. No God, don't want him. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Again, catching Paul in mid-thought, Romans chapter 1, a familiar passage, verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, who? Mankind. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. There's a progression here. You find progressions that God will show all through the Bible. This is one of them. Can I tell you this? Nobody is born an atheist. No one. They might not know who God is. They might even consider themselves to be an agnostic. But nobody is born an atheist. How do I know that? The verse I just read. Because that when they knew God, here is the first step. They glorified him not as God. That is something that even Christians fall into. We don't give him his rightful place. Can I ask you, do you have God in his rightful place in your life right now? Consider it. Is Jesus Christ front and center seat, the captain of your salvation? Is he there guiding your life? Or do you just kind of come to church on Sunday and hear about him, and then later on, you're in charge? That is the first step to when mankind really started going downhill. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And then what's the next phrase? Neither were what? Are you thankful? Hey, you're breathing air. Are you thankful to God or just to your lungs? Hey, listen, you can see me. Hey, you know what? We have air conditioning. We have lights. Praise God for the nation that we live in. We didn't earn this. God gave it to us. Are you thankful? Neither were thankful, watch this, but became vain. The word vain, Old and New Testament, that Greek, the word Greek and Hebrew that translates, they both mean the same thing, empty as to results. Became vain in their imaginations. They are thinking things through, they're imagining things, but the fact of the matter is, it does them no good. All it does is give them hurt, emptiness, and a hunger for something else. And usually that winds up in drugs, in illicit sex. It winds up in money. It winds up in trying to get fame. We wind up having people. What are they doing? They're throwing everything into this God-sized hole in their heart, and they are still coming up empty. They became vain in their imaginations. And because of that, their foolish heart was what? What's it say? Darkened. Darkened. But we've got to do something. We've got to make ourselves look good. I'm not going to give in my pride in this. I am not going to let this God or whoever he is, I'm not going to let him take charge of my life. So this is what happens. Look at the next verse. Professing themselves to be wise, they become what? And in that foolishness, the next step is a Darwinian one. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. See, mankind is not created in the image of God. He's created in the image of the chimpanzee. You know, you've heard the little thing. First I was an amoeba, a beginning to begin. Then I was a tadpole with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a banana tree. But look at me now, I'm a PhD. The word of God through it all did not waver. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Why? For he spake. And it was done. He commanded. It stood fast. That's all he had to do. He just had to speak. Let there be light. There's light. Satan has used his abilities of lies and distortions, and willing men have helped him along. Why not? You do away with God, you are now your own God. Congratulations! Except it hasn't worked. And that is what history has taught us. But here's a good question. Where is Christ in all this? You go back to John 1. Look at verse 3. All things were made by him. All things were made by him. When God the Father spoke, God the Son went, and there it is. All things were made by him. And in fact, without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and especially as he set foot on his own creation. So we go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created, listen, by him and for him. Can I give you a hint in something? You and I are not here because of an act of procreation by our parents. You and I are here specifically because Jesus Christ willed it. You and I exist. There was a time we did not exist, but God did. There was a time you and I did not know life. We know it now. Without Christ, there is one thing that we will know: eternal death. Praise God with what he did for us. We can know eternal life because there was a time that we died in sin. But we'll talk about that later. So where is Christ? Hey, he's the one that created it all. I got to thinking about this. You know, this is no wonder Christ used illustrations from nature for his preaching. I mean, think about this. Sheep, ravens, fish, corn, lilies of the field, fig tree, the vine. He made them all. He knows how to use them for an illustration. And by the way, remember when Christ created? What was it that was said about on each day? It was what? Good. It was good. Can you imagine Christ coming down in flesh, looking around and seeing what has happened to that which he created millennia before, and it was good then, but now? Sin has cost us. Our sin has cost us. Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only that, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I have never heard an 80-year-old say, praise God, I feel better than I ever have in my life. You ever heard anybody say that? Where's Jerry Babcock? See, I have to put my glasses on because of my eyes. There she is. Jerry Babcock, do you feel as young as you were when you were 10 years old? Don't think so. Why? Because we carry around with us the fruit of the sin that has come into the world. We wait for the redemption of our bodies. I want to lose this thing. And it's not because I want to have a body where I can feed it like crazy and I'll never gain weight. I want a body that doesn't age. By the way, so do you if you've trusted Christ as Savior.
Amen.
Now we look at this. From in the beginning to in his image. Go to Genesis chapter 1 now, if you would, please. Genesis chapter 1. And look at verse 26. This is fascinating. And God said, let us. He's not talking to the angels. The triune God is communing with itself. Let us make man. Make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, not male, female, and binary. Male and female created he them. You know, you stop and think about this. This is fascinating. God was really busy in creation. really busy. Scientists have classified millions of different species of animals, including more than 800,000 different kinds of insects, including the ones that drive you crazy when you go out in the summer. 30,000 kinds of fish, 9,000 kinds of birds, 6,000 kinds of reptiles, 3,000 kinds of amphibians, 5,000 kinds of mammals. Can I tell you something? Man is not an animal. He is not an animal. By the way, just stop and think about this. Physically, he alone of all creatures on the globe walks upright on 2 feet. He alone. Mentally, he alone has the ability to communicate in a sophisticated manner. Oh yeah, but you know, they've talked about, you know, how the whales communicate. I'm sorry. Whales have never created AT&T, Sprint. They've never done it. We don't know. I mean, they're communicating somewhat, understand that, but not like mankind. Spiritually, he alone has the capacity to know the mind and will of God. Think about this. This is the biggest reason Satan has lied about creation, because there is so much more to mankind. Think of it. There's a man by the name of Greg Nyssen who observed this out of the scripture. You take every other part of creation, every other part, and it came about because of the Word of God. But man is represented as a work of God. Let us make man in our image. When God created mankind, he created something special. No wonder Satan hates us. And no wonder God so loved us, even in our sin, because we were made in the image of our God. Which brings us, because of our sin. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that God told Adam, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, we know what happened in Genesis chapter 3. So I want you to picture this. They're standing there. They have sinned. The God that they walked with knows they have sinned. But in the middle of everything that they hear, the middle of the judgment, what would take place? They hear about Christ. They hear about Christ. Look at, if you're in Genesis still, go to chapter 3, look at verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Speaking of the fact that it would be a woman that would bring forth the Savior, not a human father. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. But now the question comes. Why did God create us knowing what would happen? The Bible tells us that before creation, Jesus was the lamb slain, as we'll see as we continue in this. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Why in the world did God create us in this? There's a man by the name of Ray Comfort. I like his take on this. I want to read what he has written, and I'd like for you to listen to this. He said, ask me why God created mankind, even though he knew man would sin. And I hesitate. I know the pat answer. God knew that man would sin, but by allowing it to happen, he was able to show the redeemed how much he loved us. But that answer seems incomplete to me because of the pain of sin is so great, both in this life and in the next. I suspect that I'm missing some information that I probably won't discover until after I die. But not having the complete answer now doesn't worry me. Let me tell you why. When I was a child, my father beat me. He left my mom and once killed a defenseless animal with his bare hands. Now, with that information, you could be quite justified in saying that my father was an abusive pig of a man. But you're missing some information. He physically corrected me when I lied or stole. He left mom because he worked long hours to financially take care of the family that he loved. When he found a helpless, dying animal on the side of the road, he put the poor animal out of its misery, and it grieved him to do so. The missing information shows that my dad was a very loving man. It's easy for some to paint God as a tyrant because he made man knowing that man would sin. But they deliberately forget that God lavished his kindness on us by giving us life, eyes to see the sunrise, ears to hear the birds, taste buds to enjoy good food, and so many other good things which we rarely even recognize. But I know something else about this all-wise, all-powerful, incredibly kind God. He is also a God of justice. His very nature demands both perfect justice and perfect love. So what did God do about man's sin? He gave his life on an unspeakably cruel cross, taking the punishment for our sin so that we could escape being justly punished in hell. The Bible tells us that all of us are desperately wicked and deserving of hell. We broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, yet Jesus paid our fine, knowing every sin we would ever commit before he made us. Because of his sacrifice, he can legally dismiss our case. Upon our repentance and faith in Jesus, we can leave the courtroom innocent. He invites all of us to receive this free gift. Such knowledge of this kindness of my Heavenly Father tides me over until he chooses to answer the questions I can. And that's true. There are answers that we will get that we don't have now. We have just enough information to know this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
That's what we need to know. When it comes to telling the Lord what he should have done, no. Romans 11 speaks specifically to that, verse 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. We just know this. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We look in awe in the Bible. We see the sovereignty of God. We see the free will of man. Can we describe, can we explain it all completely? Answer, no. Because our God is bigger than our puny little minds. But I can tell you this, no one was born into this life foreordained to go to hell. And no one in this life gets to heaven except through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is a fact. I was overcome with this in closing. I was overcome as I've studied this on the love of God. The love of God. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Would you please do this? One more passage and we're done. Turn to Romans chapter 8, if you would please. Romans chapter 8. I love this chapter. I love this portion. There's so much here. But oh, I pray that this would be an encouragement to you. Look at verse 37, Romans 8. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, watch this, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
We are here to behold our King. We've seen him from the beginning, in fact, before the creation. We will continue to look at that. But we will also continue to see this. God is love. And the reason why you sit here is because God so loved, listen, you. Specifically, you and me. And we can know that because of that love will be demonstrated not only from the time that we trust him, but until we stand before him and into eternity. Behold your King. Let's pray.